right, Matt Greenwood in the KJF studio with you. It is time for Sports Talk, Golf, and More with Mike Murphy, powered by your local McDonald's. Tasty breakfast fast for your Egg McMuffin is always made with a freshly cracked egg. Another great reason to wake up to the favorites you love. You know, Mike, it took me about 4 or 5 times saying that to memorize it.
Well,
and you can attest.
Yeah,
I'm just looking right at the screen and saying,
you're just amazing. no. It is so much fun to hear that commercial because
you're too
favorite breakfast when I'm playing golf.
Yeah,
is Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin. There you go.
You can't beat it, boy. And I'm telling you, if you ever want to get that kind of energy, go get your Egg McMuffin and go play 18 holes of golf. It's worth it.
Yeah, I could probably do without the 18 holes of golf because it'd probably take me about the whole day, like 12 hours to play it because I don't play golf.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there you go. Go check out those classics.
Yeah, we will. It's the Travelers Tournament, which was voted like the number one tournament by the tour players.
Hmm.
And it's out in Connecticut. And it just surprises me every year the field that plays because it's after the U.S. Open. And yeah. I really enjoy. I've had quite an experience watching that tournament. I had a young man, that Jay Williamson, who I started out in golf from Belle Reve, that had a chance to win the Travelers one year, and I've watched it ever since. But the field is always surprising to me because he had something like 30 of the top 60 players. Now, you can imagine after he got done with a major out at Pebble, going all the way out to the opposite side of the coast to Connecticut
right,
in playing. And Brooks Koepka played. And he didn't play very well. I think he was one under or even for the whole tournament. And it just surprises me how well he plays in majors. And then he gets in something like this, and he finished near the bottom.
Yeah, even.
Even par, wasn't he?
That's what you said, yeah.
And they had a young man named Will. I'll let you...
Yeah. Well, his full name is Will Chesney Reavy, but on the golf courts, it's Ches Reavy.
Ches Reavy, yeah.
There you go.
He caught my eye because he finished really well in the Open. He played real well in the U.S. Open at Pebble, and he maintained that he maintained his confidence. And you see that a lot in a major if a young player. Now this is his second win.
Mm-hmm.
It was his second win, and I happened to watch him. And you had another guy named Keegan Bradley who hasn't won in a long time. One last major he won was a PGA, and he was with him and got within a shot. But on the 17th hole, Will made birdie, and Keegan made double bogey, and he ends up winning by 3. But it was a big check for him, very nice tournament for him. I've watched him, and again, another good player that played real, real well. And the Travelers Tournament is just, like I said, it's very well run, very well accepted, and the guys really seem to have a good time because after a major, you usually want to skip the tournament.
Right,
but they had a really good field and real good tournament.
Spieth didn't make the cut.
No, Jordan. You know, I really have watched him enough lately. I can see what he's trying to do. You can see someone has told him over a period of time he's blocked a lot of shots. His safe shot is just to hit it out to the right. And I've watched him here recently, and I can see what he's going through. He's trying to release the golf club. I know when this all started, if you take the 12th hole at Augusta, which kind of runs parallel away from you with a creek,
mm-hmm.
He hit it in a creek and then made 7 there. And now he's trying to release it, and he's trying to hook it a little bit more. And I think it's going to be a while yet before he trusts it. But, yeah, I can see what he's trying to do now, and I understand what he's trying to do, and I can see he's probably, in his mind, he's hitting it a little further, just not as much control.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens here coming up, but you might run down a few of the scores.
Well, I was going to say I was going to go over some of the the favorite the golf
sure.
course favorites, golfers that guys pull for, and Phil Mickelson, another guy that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, now that's after the U.S. Open too. He goes all the way out there.
Yeah,
but they had some really good names in the field. Day played. Jason played pretty good.
Yeah, Charlie Hoffman is another one that mm-hmm. missed the cut. Another. A well-known name out there. I've never heard of Zach Sucker?
Well, I watched him.
I don't know who that is.
He was like 250th on the money list, and he moved up to 126. And he was interesting. He had the lead on Saturday. He got up to where he was 15 under,
mm-hmm.
and then he went like bogey, double bogey, bogey, and lost the lead. And then you could tell he was struggling coming in on the 18th hole. he hit a shot that he just missed it and then chipped it in to make four, and he and Keegan Bradley finished second.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know who he is because, you know, again, he's one of those guys that caught a break that week and played real well, finished second, but there isn't anybody that, as far as I'm concerned, in the top 300 anymore that on a given week can't win a golf tournament.
Reavy, by the way, had the lowest score in any round of any golfer. Third round, shot a 63.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that Saturday that he played obviously set him up for a chance to win it on day four.
It did, and he handled the pressure real well. And like I said, Keegan put a little pressure on him, and he got to 17, and Keegan's the one that hit it over the green, made double, and will end up making birdie and ends up winning the tournament by three. Good victory for him.
Yeah, I wonder who else golf course favorites as I scroll through the long list of names. Bubba Watson finished one under.
Yeah, he played, and so, of course he was down where Brooks Koepka was.
Right.
But again, you go back to the Open. I watched these guys over and over and over, and you're pretty much drained. And then the next week you get there, the guys that haven't been playing very well do have somewhat of an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pretty fresh, and some of those guys didn't even play in the Open that played well. And who was the fellow that finished second again?
Sucker?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, S-U-C-H. But,
I guarantee you he wasn't there, so he had all week to practice and had himself ready. And it's not uncommon to see somebody like that win a tournament.
Right. Hunter Mahan's the guy that I haven't really heard much of lately.
He
shot four over.
He's missing in action.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been gone a long time.
Did he win a major, or not necessarily a major, but he had a string of
wins. He was a very good player at one time.
At least he challenged.
I'll tell you what, I can't remember the last thing he's even finished in the top 10. Hunter Mahan has disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, some guys, they hit their peak, and then it's all downhill from there. And right now, that's kind of where Phil Mickelson's going. He's headed downhill fast.
Phil's getting near 50, and, of course, you know, the U.S. Open was – I felt that was his best chance ever to try to – he's been runner-up in the U.S. Open six times, but that may have been his best chance to have won an Open or at least compete in an Open, and he didn't. And I think it's kind of downhill from him at this point. Now, next year they go out to Wingfoot out in White Plains, New York, and he had a chance to win out there a long time ago, about 12 years ago, and made seven on the last hole. So I doubt very much if you'll see him be able to win another Open. I, at this point of his life, his six runner-up finishes, there's going to be some nights he sleeps there and just says, what if I would have did this? You know, what if I'd have done that? But it's going to be – I don't see him winning that major ever anymore.
We mentioned Hunter Mahan, just to do some fact-checking on him. 9 out of the last 16 tournaments he's played in, Mahan has missed the cut.
Yeah.
His best finish in the last 16 was tied for 15th at the RSM Classic back in November.
So
he's a guy that, like you said, you can't even remember the last time he finished top 10. Well, he hasn't finished top 14 in the last 16 tournaments.
So. I watched him change his golf swing, and I could tell he's had a lot of problems. And, you know, and I do understand why guys change their golf swings. They get some physical health problems, or they feel they're aging and they're trying to add more distance. But the changes he's made just does not look very good, and I don't think we'll see him on the leaderboard coming up in the next year or so. It'll be a while.
All right, well, that's it, if you're okay. That's it on the Travelers Championship. You want to move on to what's happening in Detroit this
really,
upcoming weekend?
Really interests me. This really caught me off guard. My brother called me last year, and he said, Mike, he said, the Quicken Loans, they call it the Rocket Mortgage, but it's Quicken Loans.
Right.
That sponsors a tournament. And he said, they're coming back to Detroit. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, and Detroit Golf Club, which is right on 5 Mile Road in Woodward, which is in the heart of the city. I mean, you're 5 miles from downtown. You're 5 miles from Comerica Park.
Yeah.
And it's an old Donald Ross golf course. It's 36 holes, and it's the first time ever that the city has hosted a major tour event. Now, we played in the Chevrolet back where the Chevy people sponsored it one year. We've always had the Michigan Open. You always had the Buick Open, which was up in Flint, which was sponsored by Buick. I would love to have you just pull some of the the media stuff out, because this really fascinates me. Logistically speaking, University of Detroit is right there. Woodward goes all the way to Pontiac and right downtown. And I am really going to be curious of the attendance, how this tournament comes off. And I might even get in my car and drive up there, because I know Detroit Golf Club.
It's about a 10-hour drive, if I remember from.
It's 10 hours.
Yeah,
you can get there in 10 hours, and it's something that it fascinates me, because as we had the tournament here at Belle Reve, the 100-year anniversary, all the logistics that go into this is pretty difficult, and I would is there any media. Any media attention to this being downtown? And I'm telling you, this is like going downtown Cleveland. It's like going, you know, as close as you can get to downtown Chicago. It's like going to any major city. And this golf course has been there for years. George Bear used to be the golf pro there. John Traub, good friend of mine. you know, people that I knew. But it caught me off guard. And I just wonder what the media is saying.
I don't know if they're saying anything right now necessarily about. I mean, they're they mentioned that a few of the guys that are in the field.
Give me an example.
Dustin Johnson, number one.
Dustin is? Well, that's great. That's
World golfer, yeah.
That's great.
Ricky Fowler's going to be in it. Good. Bubba Watson.
Right, good.
There's going to be some rising stars, Cameron Champ and Aaron Wise.
Sure.
Also, I just came across this. Barry Sanders will play in the Pro-Am.
Absolutely. Well, here's, you know...
So there you go.
I actually know Detroit probably as well as I know. You know, I was born and raised right there. I carried out to Pine Lake. You got some of the great clubs. Oakland Hills is one of the great golf courses there. That's right there on Maple.
Mm-hmm.
It's I can't wait to see. You know, first of all, the Pro-Am will be star studded. You'll have a lot of ex Tigers, a lot of Lions, a lot of Pistons.
I got some for you once you're...
Yes, absolutely. No,
go ahead, finish your thought, though.
No, I mean, when you look at... And when I say downtown, I mean, this is downtown. It'd be like going up on Grand. I'm dead serious. You know, Grand... Woodward is 4 or 5 lanes. You go from Royal Oak to Ferndale to where this is. But you got city buses.
Mm-hmm.
It's right in the middle of the heart of Detroit. You'll have a lot of your guys. LK Line. You'll have Barry Sanders. You'll have, anybody that plays golf. I'm sure we play in the Pro-Am. I'm curious some of the names.
Let's see, Jerome Bettis.
Yep,
former Pittsburgh Steeler.
They call him the boss. He played at Notre Dame. He played in the city. Played in the public schools city teams in Detroit.
And he's a member of the Detroit Golf Club.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's why he's there.
Sure.
As we mentioned, Barry Sanders. Kid Rock is going to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He'll add a little flavor to that.
Have you got any of the Supremes?
No, none of them.
Barry Gordy?
Maybe some of the Supreme Detroit Red Wings players, though.
Oh, yeah. You'll get
Justin Abdelkader.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure every single hockey team and hockey fan hates him because he likes to start things.
Sure.
That's why I love him, though. Danny DeKeyser, who's kind of a quiet defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little offense to him for Detroit. And then goalkeeper Jimmy Howard. So those three guys will be there. Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona Cardinal wide receiver,
absolutely,
is going to be there. And then Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo is going to be at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
This is good for the city. You know, everybody's going to tell me that the city's coming back. Well, it's going to take a long time for that city to come back because it's got a lot of infrastructure problems. But this golf tournament will be interesting to me and to see how it plays out, and I want to turn the golf channel on and I want to see what they're saying about it. But
go ahead. I got some things. I saw something.
When you walk into Detroit Golf Club, it's a gated community, and it's had been run down in some spots, but I'm kind of curious as to the reaction of the golfers and the players, the accommodations that they're going to have, where they're going to be staying. But, you see, I go back to the riots in 67, Matt,
mm-hmm.
and everything after that point, everybody went out of the city. Now, Quicken Loans has done a great job of bringing back the awareness of trying to rebuild the city of Detroit. I find this a big boom for them, but I also find it at a point where logistically I want to see him pull it off.
Yeah, and when I think you maybe already brought this up, but this Detroit Free Press article as part of USA Today.
Yep.
I mentioned this is the first PGA Tour event in Detroit.
Ever.
It's got a $7.3 million purse,
mm-hmm.
and CBS, of course, will be televising it.
Mm-hmm.
Also in this article, it says it's the first time the tour has been in Michigan since the Buick Open's final year in Grand Blanc.
Grand Blanc. Right? It's Flint, yeah, Grand
2009.
Blanc.
2009, so it's been a while.
Well, the interesting part about it, it's just like there's two major areas that golf is just tremendous. You go up into Chicago, and they don't have any major event there, and you come to Detroit. In the Detroit area, I'm in Chicago area, Detroit area. I mean, put a compass around 50 miles, and we've got some of the greatest golf courses that you can possibly play. And Chicago for one, and Detroit for one. We haven't had the major at Oakland Hills for years. We had a number of majors that were played at Oakland Hills in Detroit, 36 holes. So is this golf course. But of the two areas, it's great. It's great for the people that are golfers that are looking for a tour event, and at the same time, it's going to be a challenge. I'm trying to walk gently around that because it's going to be a challenge logistically to pull this off. And I'm really interested on the success of it, how many fans will turn out. Next week, I'll have a better idea. But I'm really in the back of my mind. I would drive up there just to see that tour event, and I just may do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of things of note from here, and this is all straight from the Detroit Free Press.
Yep.
Employees at the Detroit Golf Club are actually the ones that are responsible for making it playable are potentially going to go on strike.
What's that again?
The people that work the golf course are potentially willing to strike or potentially going to strike.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you is that I just this is the type of thing that could become a black eye just as good as it could become a plus. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So the people at the club are going to strike?
Yeah, it says Kevin Moore, who's president of the local union says come Thursday when this tournament starts, we're going to do what we have to do, demonstration strikes, whatever is at our disposal. That's a quote right there.
I was dancing around that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. You could. I mean,
I just dove right into it.
Huh?
I just jumped right into it then, didn't I?
Yeah. No, but I was trying to dance around that because I was hoping that this thing would come off and it would help the image, because the image of our city with Quicken Loans, that's what they're trying to do, and I couldn't agree more. And I hope things like this can be avoided because the golf course is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a Don LaRosse golf course. And the things that you don't want to have happen are those type of things, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Just some more information about it while we're on this topic.
Yeah.
Cause we usually don't dive this specifically into things. But it says here a 7-member group of mechanics and groundskeepers represented by Teamsters Local 299
mm-hmm.
saw their contract expire in 2018. By the way, this is all directly quoted in this article.
Mm-hmm.
The group had been asking for a contract that included a 3% pay raise, health care mm-hmm. relief, and job security language. That is according to a news release from the union that was released earlier today, apparently. Then the Detroit Golf Club president, Andrew Glassberg, released a statement in response saying that the club offered a contract with benefits and salaries 4% higher per year than the current contract and a 17% increase over the duration.
I get it. You're going right in the middle of the heart of. I've watched it. I've watched it for years. The UAW, the Teamsters are very strong, and I applauded the fact. That's why I was caught off guard when my brother told me about this last year. And I walked in today, and I said, "Where's the tournament at next week?" And I just hope they pull it off. I hope the logistics are good. I hope all those problems get worked out, because our city could use something like this. And it's going to be interesting to see how it responds, because, you know, when you're putting up this kind of money, I don't know how many years they have this tournament there, but last year was in Washington, D.C. And I know for a fact Tiger used to play in this tournament. You know,
right, so, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. Did they mention it?
No, you mentioned
I mentioned, yeah. And right. And I thought coming to Detroit, I just wondered what the arrangements are. But I'd do a little more work on it, but I wish them nothing but the best, and we'll see how it comes off. But it's certainly going to be kind of interesting to watch it from my viewpoint, to watch the buses come in and out of there and the location and what happens.
All right. Just to add on to that before we take a break here, you talk about logistics, and this article, again, thank you, Detroit Free Press, for making the show today. Fan parking is located at the Michigan State Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Over on 7 Mile, 7-8 Mile.
Spectators can take a free shuttle to the main tournament entrance. They can enter the fairgrounds on West State Fair Avenue between Woodward Avenue and John R., which is less than 2 miles from the Detroit.
Absolutely. You go down about 7-8 Mile, and, you know,
when parking is expensive, though.
Huh?
Parking is expensive, though.
Well, sure. Sure. You're in a very congested area. Yeah. You know, I'm telling you, Matt, it was such a great area to be raised in. When I talk about Berry Gordy and I talk about some of the great entertainers that came out of the Detroit area, he had all of them. You could go down to the state fairgrounds there, and when you talk about the Supremes and Stevie Wonder and the Jacksons and everybody, they had to come through there. And there were a lot of golf played over at another golf course there called Rackham. And I had some great memories over by the zoo. And it'd be kind of fun to watch and see if they get them in and out and how the golf goes. And I'm more interested in what the players' comments are going to be.
Yeah. Last thing, and then we'll take a break here and talk about the Cardinals and Albert Pujols' return.
Yeah.
We mentioned Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler that are going to be in the field. We've also got Patrick Reed, Masters champion.
Masters, yeah.
And Gary Woodland, the U.S. Open champion.
That's terrific.
Just a couple weeks ago.
That's terrific. Good. It's a good field. I mean, they got enough.
No Tiger Woods, though.
No, that's all right. They got enough. They got the U.S. Open champion. Koepka's not in it, is he?
Mm-mm.
I didn't hear you say his name.
Mm-mm.
But you got a U.S. Open champion. You got the world's number one. You got Ricky, and going to be an interesting week. I can't wait to see what happens, and we'll talk about it next Monday.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Was looking one more time. Yeah, it doesn't look like Brooks is going to be there. So
that's fine.
Okay,
yeah, that's okay. We got number five to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
And. What a weekend that was. I enjoyed I didn't miss a game. Sit there and enjoyed it. We'll talk about it after the break, hey?
Sounds good. 4:43. We're back with more Sports Talk powered by your local McDonald's. Matt Greenwood and Mike Murphy back with you on KJF Sports Talk, Golf, and More, powered by your local McDonald's. Before we talk about the Albert Pujols' return to St. Louis as a member of the Los Angeles Angels and how Mike felt about it and all that good stuff and what I was able to catch in that fashion, just want to mention again that the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has advanced to the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup. It's taking place in France, and well, they beat Spain 2-1 today on penalty kicks by Megan Rapinoe in the first and the second half. So the U.S. is on, like I said, to the quarterfinals, which means they're 3 wins away from another World Cup championship. They get to take on host nation France Friday, 2 o'clock, and catch the game on Fox. Okay, let's get back to local Mike. And the St. Louis Cardinals took 2 out of 3 against the Angels. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, couldn't get the sweep yesterday, but put up a good fight in the ninth inning, down by 6 going into it, and made it a heck of a game. But the return of Albert Pujols just powered over every single other story that could have potentially come from that series.
There's no question about it. 11 greatest years of me watching baseball and a player was Albert Pujols, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you go into the Hall of Fame and you see Babe Ruth's jersey and you see Gehrig's jersey and you see Hank Aaron's jersey, what we watched here in St. Louis, as far as I'm concerned, was they showed his numbers. 328 when he was here, average 328. He had average 40 home runs, 120 RBIs. That's 11 years. That's an average. Put those numbers in your head and think about it. 328,
yeah.
40. And 122. That's what he averaged. And, you know, when the time came in 2011, the controversy that we had in this area, I probably was privy to a little bit more information than I want to talk about. But there is no way that they could sign him for more than 5 years. And I felt comfortable with that 5 years, okay? And the reason I'm saying that is they signed him out in Los Angeles for 10 years. And we saw the aging Albert Pujols. But one thing the fans have not forgotten, they have not forgotten that 11 years he gave us here in St. Louis. And it was the best 11 years I've seen any individual in my life. Now, I never saw Stan play. I knew Stan personally. He was a member of my club. But the time I knew Stan, he was 62, 63 years old. And all you do is look at the record book. And here in St. Louis, Albert's records for those 11 years and Stan's records are comparable. And right. We watch history. And my congratulation goes out to every fan that was there that stood up and applauded him every time he came up, because that's how I felt, too. I felt the same way.
Right.
It's history. And and then I'll tell you the other thing that I really enjoyed, watching Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the thing. It's like everyone wants to compare the start that Trout has had with the Angels to Pujols' 11 years with the Cardinals, mm-hmm. and Trout measures up pretty nicely, doesn't he?
Boy, I'll tell you one thing. If I was a young ball player like Mike Trout, I was so impressed with the way he handled himself. But look what he's learned from Albert, too.
Right.
You know, it's just it was a great weekend. I was really happy to see him hit that home run in the second game.
Right.
That was really fun watching him. I don't listen to many sports shows. I really don't. But I was going up to the city today. I got a bunch of young kids I'm teaching up there and working in the foundation. And I happened to hear a number of things that, Bernie and the players and everybody else was talking about. The one thing that I think St. Louis really needs to understand about this is that, let's just say Albert was 25 years old when he showed up here in St. Louis. Add 11 years onto that.
Right.
What's that, 36?
36, yep.
And then the Cardinals offered him 5, which I thought was very fair. And then to offer 10 years, we saw the other side of an aging Albert Pujols, which in his 8 years with the Angels, his average is 256. He's made one All-Star appearance. And I guess the only thing that I hope is that over those 3 days that he goes in as a Cardinal when he goes in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he'll definitely go in as a Redbird.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Do you? Well, definitely. I hope you're right.
Definitely. Yeah. A couple things of note here. The guy that Pujols faced on Saturday, Dakota Hudson, mm-hmm. was in high school when Pujols signed with the Angels after the 2011 season.
Is that right?
No Cardinal other than Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina were on the Major League roster when Albert Pujols was last a member of the Cardinals. So
right.
It just shows how long it's been since he's been back at Busch Stadium.
Exactly.
Or in a Cardinals uniform,
well,
period.
Well, it's been 8 years. It's been 8 years since he's been back.
Long time.
And that's 211. And it was certainly something to see him. I thought the city handled it well. I thought the Cardinals handled it well. I saw La Russa was there and Jocketty was there. The fans, to be a fan in this town and not appreciate what he has done, I think Albert will go. It'll go down in his memory as one of his greatest 5 things that he remembers when he's sitting back and remembers what those fans did for him.
The first and last thing he did returning to Busch Stadium was hug Yadier Molina.
Sure. Sure.
He got a tip of the cap from Adam Wainwright, but he hugged Yadi twice. First plate appearance and then last plate appearance. And honestly, Mike, I mean, from an Astros fan perspective, as a kid, you know, you grow up hating Albert Pujols just because mm-hmm. of what he did to the Astros so many times ruined Brad Lidge's career for a few years with that ball that everyone, you know, jokingly says is still in orbit. But, you know, as you age, you become a little bit more respectful.
Absolutely.
And I respect what Albert Pujols did for the Cardinals. And, you know, if you think about it, if you just think of one player meaning so much to millions of people, I mean, wouldn't you like to have an impact on the millions of people? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, especially in this kind of setting.
Ozzie Smith's a good friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, then I got friends like Steve Braun, who played 15 years in the majors. This is something that I'm very used to. I mean, there's there's people I'll run into in my life that'll recall things that I don't even recall, you know. And,
right.
But when you're in, when you're a Hall of Famer, as Ozzy is, and you're a Hall of Famer as Albert is, or you're a Hall of Famer when Stan Musial and Red Sandys and Whitey Herzog, those are people I've been around all my life.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many people come up to them and say thank you. You know, Whitey, thank you for the World Series in 82. Thank you for getting us to 85 and 87. And then the same thing with Ozzy. And then Stan Musial, Stan was a member of mine, and I got to know Stan very well. And it was a very interesting story. Someone said to him, he said, hey, Stan, how would you hit today's pitching? He said, oh, I'd probably hit about 280 and maybe 25 home runs and 80 RBIs. And he said, well, your lifetime average, you did 328 and you averaged this in home runs and over 100 RBIs. He said, yeah, but you got to remember, I'm 70 years old now.
Nice.
But those are... Those guys, it's almost surreal.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's the word I was looking for earlier.
Yeah, it's surreal to you look at a human being and you say, yeah, you know, Bob Gibson, 251 wins, 255 complete games. Come on.
Yeah.
Huh? Albert Pujols, 328, batting average here. Average. He hit average of 40 home runs. He had 122 RBIs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, and then you take today's ball player, and I have a problem with it. You know, we glorify Steve Braun's one of my best friends, hit 271 lifetime. And yet we in our media today will glorify a 271 hitter or a 280 hitter.
Right.
But when you look at record books and you see the record books, you really do get an idea of how great these men were in the sport that they played. And I was sitting, you know, next to my son-in-law, and he had a hard time trying to grasp a hold of all of this. And I said, Brian, you're seeing history. Because Pujols hit a home run and we win the game 4-1, he had a little effect. Well, that might affect us. I said, just sit back and enjoy this. Because I can't imagine what it would have been like to watch Babe Ruth.
Right.
All right? Or Lou Gehrig. But I can imagine what it's like to see a Ted Williams. I saw Ted Williams as a kid growing up. I saw Al Kaline. I saw Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra. And when we put it in history, 10 years from now, when Albert Pujols' career is over with in the Hall of Fame, we'll remember what he did here, also what these numbers really look like. Mm-hmm. But the business side of it, which really we got – you know, we got in some pretty good arguments here at the station years ago. Do you sign up? I said, no, you don't sign him for 10 years. You sign him for 5. But you could see, I wouldn't want the back end of that contract as a businessman right now.
Right.
And L.A.'s got it. And I hope the day comes when he gets out of baseball, we sign him for another day and say, you ended up your career as a Cardinal.
Well, what's funny about it is when they sign Pujols, it's like when the Angels sign Pujols, it's, hey, we've got ourselves – the biggest, brightest star in baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, years into this contract, it hasn't really worked out greatly for them. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They have another
Trout.
The biggest, brightest star in baseball, that, Mike Trout. How crazy is that, right?
You want to know something? I watch that young man, and I can't tell you the world of knowledge and wisdom that Albert's had to pass on to him, okay? I look at that young man, and I see exactly Hall of Fame written all over it, the way he handles himself, he plays the game. And I said to myself, who would you rather have, him or Harper?
Oh, no, and yeah, Mike Trout easily.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
Yes. Two generational players on one team. Mike, we got about 20 seconds left, so I'm just going to make this announcement here. And sorry to bring down morale, but the St. Louis Cardinals have announced that an MRI has revealed that closer Jordan Hicks has a torn UCL in his right elbow is potentially facing Tommy John surgery. So,
oh, boy.
And the irony, as we have 5 seconds now, it happened on a curveball. All right, that's it for Sports Talk.